to sin. And, you know, if he's struggling with it, then, I don't even feel like I measure up anywhere near that to him. So I know that we all do the same and have the same struggle. But he said, but thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm glad of that, aren't you? Amen. All right, take your Bibles here with us tonight, please. Let's look in the book of Acts in chapter number 20. And we're studying along, trying to get into this next little chapter. We're going to start in verse number 1 and try to go through verse number 12 tonight. We should do that. It's a little bit of an unusual ride, I guess, when you begin to see what happens. But work of Paul in this, and you see this, and I guess this is really what we think of Paul more than anything, and we'll just call him a man of care. Paul cares about people and churches and the activities and about sin, about sinners, and trying to get them into the place where they're out of their sin. So all of that is something that Paul is going to care about. And I want you to look there in verse number 1 in chapter number 20. Now, if you remember last week, we were at the place where they were having the riot in Ephesus, and all this was kind of turning against Paul and against his preaching, against his people, and all this. But it says in verse number 1 of chapter number 20, and after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed to go into Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece, and there abode 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria, he proposed to go through Macedonia. And there accompanied him into Asia Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus. These going before tarried for us at Troas. And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him and embraced him, said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. And when he had therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. Let's have a word of prayer if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for tonight. Thank you again for loving us and for the good testimonies. Thank you, Lord, for the good songs, all the good word that we've already heard tonight. And I pray you just bless the word of God as we hear it and as we understand it and as we go through it. Just give us your grace and give us your mercy now. And again, we'll thank you. We'll certainly just praise you and give you glory for what you're doing for us now. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 As I said, we're going to look at Paul and the trip that he's on now. And this is kind of a little a map that shows you where he's gone. And I know that's probably a little bit out of focus on some of the things, but you can see where Paul has started over here at Antioch, and he's gone over to Ephesus. This is where we've been in Ephesus, and he's going to leave Ephesus now, and he's going to go over back into this area, into what is called Macedonia and Achaia or Greece. He's going to go over into this area and do some more work. And you can see that's a rather circuitous route. I mean, it's a big, crazy looking loop-de-doo the way that he's going, but that's what he's going to do. And that's what his purpose is to get to the place where he's touching all these bases, talking to all these churches, trying to help all these people. And that's why we're calling this little section a man of care. Because Paul's got a lot of stuff that he's got to care about. So when you look at it, I want you to see that, first of all, you see that it's a care, and it is the care that is motivated, and you see it's motivated by people. Paul's care is motivated by people. He cares about people. Amen? I mean, you see that right there in the beginning. He was ready to go preach during this uproar, but there were those that said, no, Paul, we need you, and we need you to continue doing the work. We need you to continue being the preacher man. We continue to need you as our missionary brother. We just need you. So don't get yourself into that. And you know, the Lord, we just, maybe they prayed and they got a hold of God, said, we feel like the Lord wants you to do, not get involved with that right now, but there's some other stuff that we need for you to do. So Paul is motivated, if you'll notice, by caring for people. First of all, you notice that he does go and make some moves. Just listen to this and think about that map there for a minute. He departed to go to Macedonia. Again, if you look back at the map and you think about the map, is like here is where he is in Ephesus, and he goes all the way up across land masses to get to Macedonia. And he's gone to Macedonia. Let me just kind of back up there for a minute and see if I can get you back into that. And you can see he's covered. I mean, he's here. He goes here and up around this way, really, to go here, come back, and go back again. I mean, he's really making a big, long trip out of this whole thing because he cares for these people. He cares about them. Here he is, Ephesus, and he's going to go actually here and sail across, go to Thessalonica, and then he's going to go down to Corinth, and then he's going to loop back around, go by Thessalonica, back around to a place called Troas, which is where we're going to see some of the activity tonight, and then he's going to go back around all the way eventually back over to the area where he started in Jerusalem. And there's a purpose and a reason behind all this travel that he's doing. There's a lot going on as you begin to look at it. And again, we'll get back over here and say he's making some moves. He's making some moves. You see, it says he's gone to Macedonia in verse number 1, verse number 2, and when he had gone over those parts, he'd given much exhortation. He came into Greece, and he abode there 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him, he was about to sail into Syria. He purposed to return again through Macedonia. So what he'd done is he'd gone, as I say, sailed across the waters to go over to these folks that needed him in the Macedonia, Thessalonica area. Gone there, and then he'd gone on down to Greece, and he looped back. And then he found out they were going to try to trap him in some way and kill him. So he decided, well, if they're going to do that, we'll walk around and go the long way, if you will, back around to where he winds up in this place called Troas. I mean, what I'm saying, Paul's made a lot of movement. Paul's walked a lot. Paul's done a lot. And you know what? He doesn't mind doing it because he's doing it for God. Now, sometimes we get upset over, well, I had to drive extra 2 miles to go here and do that. Well, please don't. You know, just take a deep breath and realize, hey, some of these folks before us, you know, they had to go and do, and it cost them dearly and physically for their lives. I mean, there was a lot of stuff going on. So Paul makes some moves, but I want you to notice this. Second of all, Paul meets with his men. I like this list of men that we hear here, if you will. It says in verse number 4, as he is making this trip, it said there accompanied him into Asia somebody named Sopater. We're not real familiar with him, but it says his name is Sopater. He's of Berea. And of the Thessalonians, there's a couple of guys, Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius, a man of Derbe, and Timothy, or Timothus as he's called here, and of Asia, 2 men, Tychicus and Trophimus. And all of those names sound a little weird to us, don't they? I mean, you ain't named your kids none of them, have you? Well, anyway, that's their name. But I want you to know, these were some men. And I want you to know, these men supported Paul, and they helped him. Now, this is going to come into focus a little bit better here in just a minute when we see this. But Paul is working with these men. Paul's got a group of men, and they are helpers to him. Well, preacher, what are they helping him with? Well, notice this, if you will, that Paul, through all of this and all of these men, he is managing the money. Let's just call it the money. We don't know exactly what it is, but it's the offering that Paul is receiving from all of these churches that these different men represent, the areas they represent, the churches in those areas have taken up offerings for Paul to take it back to Jerusalem. Now, you'll notice that he has said that in the chapter before, he's trying to get to Jerusalem, and he's wanting to get back there before the Passover. He's trying to get back before Passover. That doesn't work out for him because of those that he finds out are laying in wait for him. He has to turn and go another way and walk the long route around, and he misses that time that he wishes he could be there. And hearing a little bit later on, we're going to hear him say that, well, if I can't be there by the Passover, I surely want to get there by the Feast of Pentecost. He said, I want to get back. He is desiring to get back to this church in Jerusalem so he can help those poor saints. That's his whole heart. That's his whole desire. Why? Because, like I say, he is a caring man. He cares about people. And he said, we're going to go through. We're going to take up these offerings. We're going to receive. And you know what? There's some men that are there to help him. Praise God for men and women that want to help in the ministry. I mean, praise God. Hey, not everybody wants to help. Not everybody's willing. Not everybody does. But thank God for those who do. Amen. And I mean that. I mean, that man, there's some churches you can go in and they just look around at you like, me give? Why, what are you expecting me to give? And really go over and above anything, you know. I mean, I just can't believe it sometimes that folks have this barrier, this thought that, well, you know, they don't need my money. They got plenty and they got, listen, God is not so interested. And Paul, do you remember what Paul said to that church in Philippi? He said, it's not that I want anything. He said, but I'm wanting you to give so that there will be some fruit that will abound to your account. I'm wanting God to bless you because you've learned the grace of giving. Amen. Amen? And so all these churches have learned that. As a matter of fact, you know, when Paul's talking to Philippi, he said, really, you're probably the poorest church there is, but y'all have given more than anybody else, so praise God for that. Amen? Isn't that good? But anyway, Paul is in this place, he's showing that steadfastness counts in your work for the Lord. I mean, he said, here I am, and I'm going to do this. And it doesn't matter if they're setting up trying to kill me. Doesn't matter what they're trying to do to me. Doesn't matter how long it's going to take. It doesn't matter. I'm going to do this anyway. You see that this cost him some time. It says he'd gone over to the Macedonia area. He'd gone over to Corinth. He'd gone over into Greece, all those areas. And it said he abode there about 3 months. And then when he knew that the Jews were laying in wait for him, he turned and walked around a long route that took him a long way to get there. And it said, man, that here he was. He was grabbing this whole group of men. And when they got there, it said that they were a group there tarrying for him at Troas. Now, I want you to notice something right here, if you will, in verse number 5. Luke is narrating. I don't have this necessarily thrown in with the notes, but Luke is narrating this. And all of a sudden, we've gone from a they to a we situation. What does that mean? That means Luke has joined the party again here when they get ready to sail from Philippi and going to Troas. It says, and these going before tarried for us at Troas. If it was all before this, he was talking about they and them. But now it becomes a little more personal because Luke has joined back in with the group. And, you know, that's just something for your information, all right? But second of all, look at this, if you will. Yeah, here's Paul. He is a caring man. He's caring about what's going on. He's caring about people. But I want you to notice this care that he has is also manifested by his preaching. By his preaching. Now, it says in verse 6, and we sailed away from Philippi after the days of the unleavened bread, came to them in Troas in 5 days, and abode there 7 days. And listen, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and he continued his speech until midnight. Somebody say amen right there. I mean, that's a Sunday evening service. And guess what? It ain't over. Amen? I mean, it's not over. I want you to look at this first of all. Notice this. We'll talk about the Lord's Day. All right? There's a lot of folks in our day-to-day, they get all in an uproar over, well, what day are you supposed to go to church? Well, let me just tell you what this Bible right here says. Upon the first day of the week. You just read it with me. Verse number 7, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread. I mean, this has become the standard for the Christian church. This has become the standard on the Lord's Day. Amen. What do you think that means? I'm telling you, every time you look in your scriptures and read, it said the first day of the week they came together. The first day of the week. What do you say? I'm saying the first day of the week. And the first day of the week's not Monday. It is Sunday on your calendar. It is the day after the Saturday, which is the Sabbath, the seventh day. But it's the first day of the week. Sunday, we call it Sunday. The first day of the week is the Lord's Day. Anybody wants to talk to you about that and start trying to tell you, oh, well, our church believe this and our church that. I don't care what your church says. I don't tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says it was upon the first day of the week. Amen? And you say, well, preacher, is that important? I believe it is. I believe it's important for us to know what the Scripture teaches about when and why we get together. And it's on the first day of the week. Amen? Here they are. So the disciples came together to break bread. And what did we have? We had a Baptist preacher. Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow. Paul was leaving on the next day. You know what most of us preachers are doing? Let's cut this short tonight. I got to leave in the morning. Right? I mean, amen. Come on. That's what we normally do. Woo, I got to catch that plane. I got to get out of here. I got to be at the airport. I got to get my bag together. Well, Paul said, guess what? Surprise. It says, listen, Paul was ready to depart on the morrow, and he continued his speech until midnight. Now, let's look at it and be a little fair. He hadn't been preaching all day, okay? I'll give you that. He has probably been preaching from the evening, afternoon, after, because, listen, most of these people that Paul is preaching to, the historians say, most of them were slaves. Most of them, the majority of them were in servitude to somebody. Most of them were slaves in some way. And you know what? They had to work during the day. It didn't matter that it was the first day of the week. Their bosses, their owners, their people, whatever, told them, said, get out there and work those fields. You get out there and do what you got to, and we don't want no lollygagging or playing around. You just get busy. So their time was theirs when the evening came. So Paul was probably preaching to them in the evening time when they were all able to get together. And when he did, he said, well, let's get started. And all of a sudden he said, wow, it's nearly midnight. How y'all doing? I mean, Brother Bagwell will be here next week. He'll be looking at that watch and saying, can y'all hang on another few minutes? Well, I believe old Paul was already doing that. He didn't even have a watch. He'd just say, can y'all hang on? Somebody said, it's midnight. He said, yeah, we'll keep on going. He said, Waffle House ain't closed yet, so let's just keep on going. Amen? I mean, listen, it's the Lord's Day, all right? The Lord's Day. And second of all, look at this, the Lord's people. It's the Lord's Day, but he's preaching to the Lord's people. As I said, most of these folks are probably slaves. They probably, and can you imagine that? I mean, they have worked probably all day long, but now they get an opportunity to pull up to the table and hear the Apostle Paul as he gets ready to preach, and as the Bible says here, when he was long preaching. He was. He got some length on this. I mean, it said he continued his speech until midnight. But look, it said, and there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. I believe there was a crowd. I believe they had a lot. And of course, they, all they had is those little lamps that they put the oil in and burned the wick with. That's all they had to do with, right? So they had a bunch of them. And that just tells you there's a lot of people up there that want to hear the Word of God. Can you imagine that? I mean, what if you couldn't hear the Word of God but every so often, and especially from somebody like Paul? I mean, the apostle that wrote most of our New Testament, man, and you got to sit and listen to Paul get up and preach and proclaim and explain and expound the Word of God. And they're sitting there soaking it in. And he said, boys, it's getting late. And they said, preach on, preacher. Preach on. Amen. A bunch of them get up and, you know, they're running this and church. Time out. Amen. Somebody told a story one time about a little kid in church, and he was been there, been doing pretty good, and the preacher might have got a little long, and he jumped up and he said, hush, man, home, beans. I mean, it's time to eat. Let's get out of here to go to the house. Amen. Well, anyway, here Paul is preaching, and there's a lot of folks that have gathered together to hear the Word of God. But, you know, there is the Lord's people, and there's the Lord's message and the Lord's messenger. Paul is preaching the good Word of God to these folks. I mean, he's preaching. He's preaching the truth. He's preaching everything that he can do. And it says in verse number 9, and there sat in the window a young man, a man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. Somebody say amen right there. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell from the third loft and was taken up dead. Well, okay. Amen. Yeah, right. That's what you get for going to sleep on the preacher. Somebody said he just dropped out of class. Amen. He sure did, didn't he? Well, I remember, I think it was Brother Langston told that story about, you know, some preacher up preaching. Somebody went to sleep while he's preaching. He looked at the old fellow next to him and says, wake him up. And he said, you come down here and wake him up. You're the one to put him to sleep. Amen. So I guess that's the way that goes sometimes. But anyway, here's a young man. And we'll say, thirdly, the care that Paul managed through the problems that come up. And I'd say definitely this right here looks like a problem, doesn't it? I mean, here he is preaching. And you can imagine, I will go a little defensive on Eutychus and talk about that. I mean, imagine, he's been working all day long, probably. And why he decided to climb up into the third loft, I don't know. But you know how young men are. I'm going to get up here. I'm going to get me a good seat. I'm going to climb up on top of something. Listen, I want to sit on the floor. Yeah, he probably thought he had a bird's eye view. I'm going to sit on the floor if I got to. I'm going to get down low. And, you know, the Bible says, low, I'm with you always. Not anywhere up high. But he's up in the third loft. I don't know what kind of building this is or how it's arranged, but it says he was in a window and in the third loft, and he fell asleep. No doubt you could imagine this, because we've all been there, right? You get into a nice, well, not super quiet, but semi-quiet space. All of those lamps going, and there's a little gentle warmth that's coming in there. You've had a long day, and you begin to get tired, and your eyes are beginning to flutter, and your head ducks a few times, and then finally, boom, that's it. I mean, you're just gone. Amen? I mean, come on, y'all. Preacher, I have been there. Or some of you ladies say, my husband is there. I got to know. I got it. Amen. Yeah. Right. What happened in that movie? I don't know. Something went about the third minute of it. Anyway, this young man went to sleep. He went to sleep. And from where he was perched, he fell down. And fell down. And it says in verse number 9, he was taken up dead. Now, again, the interesting thing about this is we've switched back in the narrative, and we know that Luke is there. Well, who is Luke? Luke is a physician. Luke's a doctor. He knows, you know, all of the ins and outs of the medical things that they've got. So if he says he's dead, he's dead. He was taken up dead. I mean, this young man has died. And here's Paul, as I say, this ministry. Well, first of all, we'll just say there's a casualty. Amen. And that's putting it rather mildly, isn't it? We've got a casualty down at the church. Well, what is it? We got a guy that has fallen from the third loft, and he's dead. And isn't it amazing? I mean, you think about that. I mean, you could imagine that interrupted everything that's going on, right? I mean, that interrupted the service, interrupted the sermon, interrupted everything that's going on. Matter of fact, it was, as I say, we talk about Paul having care. And look what it says in verse number 10. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him said, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." I mean, when you realize what's happened and you hear what Paul has said, I mean, Paul's got some confidence that God is going to perform and has performed a great miracle. If you'll remember a couple other times in your Bible, Elijah, if you remember, he goes and takes a young child and wraps himself around him and brings him back from the dead. And Elisha, the same thing. He goes and takes that woman that was so nice to him and made a place for him to stay and all that. And he got her son and lifted him up and brought him back from the dead. Amen? And you know that Jesus did the same thing with Jairus' daughter and brought her back from the dead. So I'm just saying, brother, we've got some precedent here. I'm telling you, hey, the Lord can do what he wants. And you'd say, well, why would the Lord do this in this particular instance? Why would the Lord do what he's done as he's doing it for Paul here? Because let me tell you, he's trying to build everybody's confidence in the word that Paul is preaching. Not necessarily in Paul, but they'll have a great confidence in Paul. They'll hold him in a place of esteem. They'll look at him and they'll say, there's a real man of God because look what he did. Amen? As I said, they're all in a turmoil. They're all shook up. They're all in a troubled heart, troubled mind, troubled state right now. But Paul comes in and he gives them some confidence. He says, trouble not yourself, for his life is in him. And look what it says. When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. Look at verse 12. And they brought the young man alive, and they were not a little comforted. You notice that there was a comfort there for them. Paul comforted them, and Paul still got to make his trip to leave on time to go where he's going. Amen. I mean, and you think about this now. You just realize this. Here he is. Paul has, through all of this has happened, he's been awake all night long. Probably awake all day the day before, Saturday or whatever, and then into Sunday and Sunday night. And now he's preached and the night has changed and they go into the morning. And it says he's sitting there. It said when he was come up, and this is talking about Paul in verse number 11, when he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till the break of day, so he departed. Here's Paul, and he has come back, and he's just trying to comfort those folks and said, this boy is going to be all right. And I just want to tell y'all some more from the Word of God. And he probably sat there and ate with them and conversed with them and preached to them and encouraged them and exhorted them in everything that he could. And then before he left, they brought the young man back down there and everybody saw that he was okay. Amen? And wasn't that a comfort? Wasn't that a blessing? Wasn't that a help to all of these people? What'd they get out of that, preacher? Well, they saw a young man whose life was gone, but then through the man of God, his life came back again. Can I tell you what a great picture that was for them of Jesus? How that somebody is considered dead in sin, but then through Christ Jesus coming by, they're alive again, and they're living on, and they're doing well after that. Amen? I mean, as I say, what a comfort, what a story, what a blessing, what a help to all of those folks that are around there listening to Paul preach. And as I say, when he got ready to go, and he's leaving, you'll see there, verse number 13, they went to a ship and sailed on to another place. As they got ready to leave, Paul said, here he is, boys. He's fine. He's okay. The Lord has touched him. The Lord has healed him. And Eutychus, don't go up there no more, son. Stay down here while the preaching's going on. Amen. don't go up there. Hey, let me just tell you, isn't that a blessing to know, though, that God can do those things? And as I say, you see that Paul is a man who cares. Isn't it amazing? I just thought it was amazing that he cared about those folks over there in Jerusalem that he wanted to take an offering to. But he didn't just care about that. He cared about those people he was around, and he went on that big circuitous route of preaching and teaching for all those months, and he preached to them and established the church. And if you go back and look at that as you study it, there were spaces in there where Paul was at this place for 3 months and this place for this period of time and all that. That was when he wrote maybe 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and the book of Romans were all written in all of this other stuff that Paul had done. Wow. What do you mean? I'm saying he cared about people. He cared about the ministry. And he cared about reaching souls with the gospel. Paul was a caring man. Paul was a caring man. And we see all of this care that he's got. And man, he cares for me and you. The songwriter said, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. Amen? And that's true. But can I tell you, hey, sometimes a good man of God that really cares about you, he's not afraid to preach the word of God. He's not afraid to hang in there with you. He's not afraid to get in the midst of the troubles and the issues going on. And he's not afraid of what's laying out there ahead of him. He just keeps on going ahead anyway. Amen? Isn't that good? That's where we see that Paul is the man of care. Amen. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing some song, if you would, tonight. And maybe you're here if you need to pray about some things. Or maybe if you're there on Facebook watching us, you need to pray about some things. Would you do that? I just